Well, thank you all you non-bear-watching fans. I'm glad to be back on the air. This is Rick Kogan. We generally, during football season, are on and off and abbreviated. Today is an hour and a half, but it's full. It's full. It will be full of information for you, and there is no one on this planet who provides information with more intelligence and verve and enthusiasm than, hello, Candace Jordan.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, Rick. Well, welcome back, and I'm so glad I'm back with you. This is very, very exciting.
What have you been doing, though?
I was just thinking about our calendar, because I knew you were going to ask me that. We've been out every night this week. So,
when you say we, you mean you and your lovely husband slash bodyguard Chuck.
My husband Chuck.
Well, I mean, to my mind, we talked about this before the football season came around. Society events and party events have really picked up. I mean, are we at a pre-COVID stage in this whole Chicago scene?
Rick, there is no truer words. I think that everybody is just, though they're anxious to see people again, and they have been for quite a while. But, you know, usually in the fall or this, the things kind of slack off a bit. You can take a breath. But I've been busier than ever with so many diverse events. I mean, every nonprofit's got a gala going on. People are having parties. I mean, you know, Chicago's just exploded with things to do.
Now, I know because I saw it on some TV show. I know you were present for the for Bob Zemeckis, that kid from Roseland getting honored.
I know you know him well.
Yeah, I do.
I'm telling you this. You know, Michael Kutza, who's the founder of the Chicago International Film Festival, they're longtime old friends.
Sure.
And so he convinced him to come back for this special honor. And a while back, Michael introduced me to Bob and his beautiful wife, Leslie, and we've been to dinner a couple of times, and so I know him fairly well. And I'll tell you something, there is no smarter, sweeter, kinder gentleman than Bob Zemeckis.
You know, the thing about him, Candace, which you're just talking about, and I realize too, is he has remained, for all of his fame and all of his awards and all of his financial boon, he has remained a real kid from Roseland. He does not take any of his accomplishments for granted, does he?
Oh God, no, not at all. And you know, the closing night of the 60th Chicago International Film Festival, he was awarded with the Founders Legacy Award, and Michael Kutza, of course, presented it to him. And it was held at the Music Box Theater. And you know, before the presentation on stage, they had a VIP reception backstage, and they had a red carpet experience. And I will tell you that he talked and chatted up every single person that came with him. 2 feet of him. And I was so absolutely impressed with his kindness. I mean, you know, disabled people that were there, you know, he went out of his way to make sure that they felt included and they were a part of the scene. And I mean, it was just, he brought Leslie, his wife, and also his daughter, Zsa Zsa, who is an actress as well. And both Leslie and Zsa Zsa are in this film here that was screened at the Music Box.
Well, one of the things too, Leslie is a talented author and documentary filmmaker too. I mean, this is one
in her own right.
This is one talented family.
Yeah, the two of them are a real powerhouse.
I have to ask you, Candace Jordan, to put on your critic's hat, and I know you are one of the kindest people in the world, but I am reading some surprisingly disappointing reviews the movie here, which I thought when I first heard of it, that it's all set in one space in time, from the dinosaur age to contemporary America, starring Robin Wright and Tom Hanks resurrecting the crowd from Forrest Gump. It sounded really, really exciting to me, but I got to tell you something. I have not read one favorable review. So I want to ask you, what did you think?
I thought it was genius, and Michael Kutza thought it was the best film he's ever made. I mean, here's the thing, and this is what I think the critics get at him for, is because, you know, he's always on the cutting edge of technology.
Exactly.
And you know, there's some AI used in this, obviously, because the people grow, you know, they start young and they grow old, and so they use AI techniques to make that happen. And so they've always been really critical of him for that type of thing. And I just think it's extremely unfair. I think the story, here's the thing, though. The story does not have a happy ending. So if you're going to go in there with Pollyanna, you know, bright eyes, and it's not going to happen for you, you need a box of tissue nearby. But I think it is so ingenious. It's not like any movie you've ever seen before.
Oh, I can imagine. Sure.
But I thought it was fantastic. I just don't like movies with unhappy endings. That's all.
Well, of course you don't. Of course you don't. And of course, the greatest holiday in the world, Halloween, took place a couple days ago. What did you do for Halloween, Candace Jordan?
Oh, my God, let me tell you. You know, for Halloween, first of all, this will be the third year that I went to Harry Carey's Tavern at Navy Pier at the invite of Pause Chicago and Grant DePorter, and I served as an MC for maybe the world's cutest pet Halloween costume contest.
How could it be the cutest contest if my cat was not entered in the thing?
Well, you know, I said this to you before now, Rick. You could have brought that cat over, and it would have been perfect. It's a black cat. Halloween, hello, you would have been a shoe-in.
It didn't need a costume either. That's
no,
a great thing, too.
Just bring it as is. So, anyway, they had a capacity entries. They had 25 dogs and cats, and they had even a lizard this year. And listen, the owner dressed it as a minion. It had a little minion costume on. Oh, Rick, I cannot believe what it looked like. It was adorable. Anyway, so they, you know, a portion of the proceeds all went to Paws Chicago, which was spectacular. But, I mean, one outfit was cuter than the next. They had one dog, listen to this, that was dressed. The owner was dressed as the Wicked Witch, and she had a completely green painted face in the full costume. And her dog, a Chihuahua, was dressed as a flying monkey. I mean, people are so creative.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember when Halloween was just you grabbed a sheet and some and put it over your head and you were a ghost. I mean, it has gotten so extravagant.
Right?
Before we take a little break, I also want to talk to you about the Library Foundation. Every year they have these Carl Sandburg Literary Awards. How was that this year, Candace Jordan?
Well, you know, it was so exciting because Chance the Rapper was honored with the Arts Award, which I thought was wonderful because he does so much in the community. But, you know, that Simon, what's this guy, John Simon? Who's the guy from NPR that does the conversations?
Scott Simon.
Scott. Well, he did a great job interviewing Ann Patchett, who won the Carl Sandburg Literary Award. She's written like 9 books. And, I mean, it's always a fascinating, fascinating event. They had the authors on stage, local Chicago authors. They had M.K. Pritzker, First Lady of Illinois, who had written a book, and she was on stage.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. And they had Sherman Dilla Thomas, you know, the historian.
Sure, the historian.
He had written a book. And Rick Bayless, of course, has written another book. I think that's by the thousand he's written now. But they have a great group of authors on stage. It was really an interesting event. Yep.
Well, you do get around, Candace Jordan. You can find Candace. If you just Google Candace Jordan, you will come up with a million different things. There's Candid Candace, and she has a podcast and blah. Just Google Candace Jordan, and you'll get her. And also, stay tuned, because when Candace comes back in a couple of minutes, we will talk about some things that are coming up that you can go to where you can see Candace Jordan. Rick Hogan and Candace Jordan back together again, finally.
I'm so happy.
Well, it's so nice to have you back on the air, Candace. You're a great guest, and you work your bunny tail, bunny tail off doing what you do on a number of different platforms, right? You do a podcast. Chicago.
Podcast. I have a blog.
Chicago Star Media. Google Candace Jordan. I'm not going to insult you by spelling that for you. Well, Candace is C-A-N-D-A-C-E. Jordan is J-O-R-D-A-N.
I don't know how to spell
what
that
is,
now. I'm so impressed.
Yeah,
excellent.
Genius. I'm a genius, Candace.
Yeah, you are.
What is coming up, dear? What are you and Chuck planning for this week?
Yes. Thank you for asking. This Friday, November 8th, the Jackson Chance Foundation is going to host its 10th annual ping pong ball. And if you're not familiar with it, it's like a March Madness style ping pong tournament that utilizes like local media personalities and celebrities. Like, I think this year they're going to, Jerry Azuma will be there, Dennis Savard, Will Perdue, Sarah Spain. They've asked me to play ping pong, but that's not.
Are you any good? Are you good at ping pong?
Tricks. So I had to decline that, but I will be going there and covering it. And the this a nonprofit. This listen.
Where do they where do they hold it, Kendis? Where does it take place?
It's going to be at Spin Chicago, which is 344 North State Street. That's this Friday, and it starts at 5:30 to it goes until around 6:30. Well, the main event starts at 6:30. But anyway, let me tell you what this nonprofit does.
Sure.
They raise money to give to families who have babies in the NICU, in the emergency, you know, part of the hospital.
Sure.
And it goes to pay for their parking. Because if you are there with a child,
yeah,
and you're spending full time with it, I mean, those parking expenses can
add up to astronomical
amounts.
Absolutely, sure, sure.
So then the reason they founded this, sadly, is because they themselves had a child in NICU, which is he's fine now, but they spent a lot of troubled moments there, and so they realized the expense, and so they started this foundation for these young families, which I think is just ingenious.
Now, they've held this before, of course, yes?
Oh, yeah, this is the 10th annual. I've been to several of them, and it's fascinating. You know, last year they had a young kid who was a ping pong champion, and you know, I thought, oh, this is good, you know, he's like 7 years old or whatever, let's just see him hit the pedal. Well, this guy, he was on fire. I'm telling you, you couldn't focus your eyes, he was hitting the ball so fast.
Well, you want to ask yourself, what good is it for, I don't know if there's a professional ping pong tour, but what you can be really good at it, I suppose, but I don't know how you'd make a living at it. Is there a professional ping pong tour? Do you know?
You know, I think so, because I think they mentioned that this kid was on some kind of a circuit or something, but he was unbelievably good. So it's really a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And you don't have to play ping pong to enjoy the night. They have cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, and, you know, they have moving presentations. And so it's a whole gamut. It's a fun party, period.
Now, talking about, you know, the fact that Christmas seems to start earlier, I went last night to the Walnut Room at Marshall Field on the 7th floor at Marshall Fields to see the new tree. You're going to do the Make-A-Wish tree lighting at the 900 shops, right?
Yes. Did you know that this, I did not know this until very recently, that this Make-A-Wish Illinois, this 900 shops, this is the biggest fundraiser for this nonprofit, the Make-A-Wish.
For Make-A-Wish? Wow.
And it's going to be November 21st at the 900 shops, and it's called Illuminate 900. And they've had this every year for several years. And what it is like they have a massive 50-foot tree that they light up. There's lots of performances from nonprofits, like in dance companies like the Joffrey Ballet or Forward Momentum, they dance. And then they have all these activations surrounding it where they'll have like candy canes, painting, you know, where you could paint things and give it to the kids, and they could sit on Santa's lap and, you know, give him their wishes. I mean, so it's on all levels, and it's just an incredible night. And donations and tickets from this event, which start at only $5, go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Are you hosting this event, honey?
I did the first year.
Yeah.
I hosted it the first year, but now I just go as a spectator. And it's just, there is so much to see. I mean, the decor is by Kehoe Designs, which is always spectacular. And they do a great job. They call this a love letter to Chicago.
You know what else is a love letter to Chicago? And you and I have been to this thing. It's the Mag Mile Lights Fest. It starts like a couple days before with a lighting of the Eli Shulman Park on Chicago Avenue,
right,
behind the firehouse. Do you ride in the parade?
Well, you know, this is so exciting because the Mag Mile Lights Festival is Saturday, November 23rd.
Right.
And Enjoy Illinois, the nonprofit, they have invited Chuck and I to ride on their bus in the parade. But, you know, this is not the first time we will have been in the parade. We also rode the bus for my eye doctor, who had a beautiful decorated bus a couple years ago.
Wait, hold on. Your eye doctor has a float in the parade.
They had a float in the parade a couple years ago. I think it was a one-off. I don't think they returned.
It was too expensive for
it again. But it was fun. And here's why we were on the My Eye Doctor bus, because my friend worked for My Eye Doctor. So he invited Chuck and I. But let me tell you something. There is no greater joy than being you know, up above where you're riding down Oak Street and seeing all the sea of people and all those lights from that perspective. I mean, I know I'm very lucky to be able to have this experience. So, but I share it all with photos and, you know, a full write-up everywhere so, you know, everybody can enjoy the ride with me. But it really is a great experience, and we're very excited about doing it again.
And Chuck loves it too, I assume, yes?
Well, he thinks it's unique, yes. Let me put it that way.
What do you and Chuck do for Christmas?
Well, for Christmas, we have we're going to put our Christmas tree up very shortly, and then usually on Christmas we're just alone together with the Chihuahua.
Oh, how
and
nice!
And I'll pick something that he loves. It's his favorite meal or something, and we'll have wine and beer, and you know, just enjoy the night. That's what we do. Oh, we play a lot of Christmas music, old time Christmas music.
What's your Chihuahua's favorite meal?
Oh, anything but it's dog food. Let's put it that way.
So you're getting a steak from Gibson's or something.
Yeah,
so there's another thing that you've mentioned to me called the...
Let me tell you about one more thing, and I want to tell you something. Chef Art Smith, celebrity Chef Art Smith, threw a bash for Dia de los Muertos. I think that's how you pronounce
Day of the Dead.
Yes, at his house Friday night.
Oh, wow.
He shares with his husband, Jesus Salguero, who's an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, it was so fabulously over the top, I'm still spinning, because they had like an 8-foot-tall performer dressed as, the Day of the Dead.
His death.
Her name is Luna Katrina. Wow. And Art said that he brought her there in honor of his late friend, Chili, because, you know, we had...
Chili Pepper.
And he had an elaborate ofrenda, you know, that altar where you all bring pictures of your lost loved ones. And
sure.
It was filled with, you know, moving photos. But it was a celebration. And he had more food than you can imagine. And the backyard was lit up. He had a mariachi band. And he had a food truck there as if there wasn't enough food in the kitchen already.
Wow.
He had a taco truck. And you know, he donates the food afterwards to homeless shelters. And so... he's always thinking of philanthropic ways to make things happen, and everything that he purchased for this party was all from, you know, local small Mexican businesses or nonprofits. So
yeah, he's a good guy. How is his place? I went and saw you some months ago, maybe even a couple of years ago, at his new place at Navy Pier. How is that place doing?
The best menu. You know, I love Southern food, first of all, and he's known for his fried chicken.
Uh-huh.
They've got... the menu is out of this world. They've got goat cheese biscuits. He's got, you know, greens and cornbread. And, I mean, an incredible amount of food at this restaurant. And it's beautiful. It's the first location right as you get to Navy Pier.
Yeah, just to the left.
You don't have to walk. You just get out of a cab and walk right in.
And before I let you go, why do you and Chuck not weigh 300 pounds each?
Well, you know what? That's an interesting question.
Here's the thing.
When we go to events, for some reason or another, as long as I can remember, I have never eaten the food when we go out.
Really?
Because I'm busy.
That's how you keep your girlish figure.
And, you know,
yeah, okay.
And I rarely actually even drink when I go out. And if I do, it's like a glass of wine or two. But when we get home, Katie bar the door, because that's when, you know, the refrigerator is hit and the wine bottles come out. But I don't eat at events.
Well, you will be on again in a couple weeks now that we're back in business, Candace Jordan. And we love having you on this show.
Let me tell you one thing.
Yes.
Huge congrats on your magnificent full-page spread in the Tribune today on the Johnny Carson book. It was spectacular.
I've had full page spreads before, but thank you very much, honey.
It's
a good book. It's a good book. I'm going to have Mike Thomas on in a couple weeks with you again.
I love him.
Love to you and love to your husband, honey.
I love you too.